If you would like to share what the Lord has laid upon my heart this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn over to a book in the Bible that is often forgotten, if you may. But the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, we're going to read one verse this morning. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. So we're just going to read that one single verse this morning. Scripture says in Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, and Solomon is the writer, and he says, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." And I'm going to stop reading right there. I found enough to preach on in that one little verse. So if you will bow your heads this morning, we're going to ask the Lord for His favor and for His anointing in ministering His Word. Heavenly Father, we are grateful today that we have been blessed with the opportunity to be here in the house of the Lord. We are thankful this morning, Heavenly Father, for those that have been able to come and to be here in this auditorium and in our service this morning. We've enjoyed our worship, and we have enjoyed worshiping and praising your name. We come now to the reading of your word. Now to the ministry of your word, and Father, of my own self, I am incapable. But I pray this morning, Lord, that you would put your thoughts in my mind and your words in my mouth and empower what is spoken by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let the words be as an arrow to the heart. And let it speak to us here today, I pray. I would ask this morning, Lord, that every individual in this house would be blessed through the word that you would have me to speak. I pray that you would give me unction to function and liberty in the house of God. Exalt your name, glorify the name of Christ, and edify the body of Christ. Speak to our hearts this morning, I ask, Lord, in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So the writer says, "Take us the foxes." I'm going to title my message this morning, "Little Foxes." Little foxes. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. For our vines have tender grapes. And you may be thinking this morning, Pastor Gary, what in the world are you going to preach about out of that? I will begin this morning by just simply making a simple statement. Little things matter. Little things matter. I'm sure that you are all familiar with the expression, "Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't worry about the minor details. Don't major on the minors." But I want you to know something this morning, and I want you to understand this morning that there are some things that seemingly are very small, that if we leave them unattended to, they will have great consequences in our life. Little things that seem insignificant can determine our outcome in life. Little things that seem unimportant can have a major impact in our hearts. Little things that seem immaterial can determine our success or our failure. Little things that seem to be trivial or minor or irrelevant, they matter more than what you think. Let me give you an example this morning. How many of you have taken math and you are familiar with a little small thing called a decimal? It's just one little dot. No doubt you're all familiar with the importance of the decimal, even though it's just one little dot in a string of numbers. But consider the consequences of a misguided decimal. Consider that a little misguided decimal can mean the difference in $10 or $100. It just depends on where you put the decimal. A misguided decimal can mean the difference between $100 and $1,000. A misguided decimal, you get it in the wrong spot, and $100,000 can quickly become $1,000,000. Yeah, somebody go, yeah, bring it. Yes, Lord Jesus. Maybe some of you remember hearing in the local news here, not, you know, maybe it's been maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago, but the Nampa School District found themselves in financial trouble and their budget had a deficit of thousands of dollars. Do you know what the culprit was? It was an accounting error. It was one little decimal. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Little things matter. Little things count. When you stop to consider the entire picture, there are some instances in life that little things can be very significant. And that is the point of our text. Little things matter. Little things have the potential to either make or break. Little things can determine our success or our failure. We tend to underestimate the small things. When the atom bomb was dropped, in relative to the damage that it did, it was just a small item, but yet it caused Japan to surrender in a matter of moments. A flea is a small creature about the size of the end of a sharpened pencil, but you put enough of them together on a dog and they'll kill a dog. You hear what I'm saying? A termite is just a little small insect, but if it's ignored, it'll chew down the house. A tongue is just a small matter, but it can do irreparable damage to somebody's reputation. One match can burn down a whole forest. Little things matter. Little things matter. The text that we've read this morning is pointing out the fact that it is the little things that often spoil or ruin our lives. Little things often are what cause ruin and spoil in our heart. In my humble opinion this morning, two of the most misunderstood and two of the most neglected books of the Bible would be the book of the Revelation and the book of Song of Solomon. They are probably both, I would venture to say, of all of the 66 books that you will find in the Bible, they are probably read the least and preached on the least. Amen. And sometimes you just mention the book of Song of Solomon and people scratch their head and they want to shy away. And I understand the guy says some really strange stuff. Let me give you an example. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. The Bible says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine." Behold, Song of Solomon 4 and 1 through 7. "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast doves' eyes, and within thy locks thy hair is like a flock of goats. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. Thy lips are like scarlet thread. Thy temples a piece of pomegranate. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins feeding among the lilies. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee." And I thought to myself when I was putting this message together, wow, that is drop dead sexy. He's saying, "Baby, you got eyes like a dove and hair like a goat. Amen. And your breasts are like two twin deer feeding in the field. And not only that, but you got good teeth." I mean, you talk about game. Solomon had, I mean, he knew how to sweet talk a lady. He's like, "Girl, you got some good teeth. And you that hair, I mean, that's like my favorite goat." I will confess right up front, that's not how I'd go about, you know, complimenting my wife. So, I will say this, Solomon had 300 wives and 700 concubines. Maybe he knew something we don't know. But what I'm saying is I understand he says some strange stuff and there's some strange verbiage there. And the writer says some strange things that leave us scratching our head and wondering what in the world is he talking about. But he also says some very specific things that have some very practical truth to them. And my message this morning is not meant to be an exhaustive expose on the entire book of the Song of Solomon, but for those of you that are searching for some theological explanation about the little book, let me just say that in a nutshell, the Song of Solomon records a love story between King Solomon and a Shunammite maiden. And in reality, the book is a picture of Christ's passionate love for his church and how that his church should have a passionate love for him. Amen. It's a fascinating story. It has lots of imagery, and lots of pictures, but it contains some very powerful and very practical truth. The text this morning is pointing out a picture of a beautiful vineyard in early spring. And the vines have bloomed and the fruit has come on and there is a harvest that is ready to be had. Understand this morning that in those days the fruit of the vine was considered to be the very substance of life. The fruit of the vine was considered to be the very source of life. Jesus himself uses this analogy in the New Testament. He says in John chapter 15 in verse 1, he says, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. In John 15 and 5, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches, and he that abides in me and amen, I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. He's saying without staying connected to me, you can accomplish nothing. Amen. He is essentially telling us that in order, he meant to have any kind of spiritual life, we must have a relationship with him and be connected to him. Because the branches cannot exist in absence of the vine. The branches cannot exist without or absent from the life of Christ. So understand this morning that when Solomon paints the picture of the vine, he is saying that there is something that threatens the relationship between he and the one that he loves. There is something that has the potential to threaten the relationship between he and the one that he cares for. And again, I remind you, remember that this book is a picture of our relationship with Christ. So in essence, the scripture is telling us that there are some things that seem like they are minuscule and some things that seem like they are small and some things that seem like they are irrelevant. But if we don't watch out for him, they will have an effect upon our relationship with the one that we love. Solomon says that there are some little foxes that come to destroy the vine. There are some little foxes that are capable of destroying the harvest and making us unfruitful. You see, the little foxes likes to dig and burrow into the ground. The little fox likes to dig and burrow holes into the ground. And even though the little fox is a carnivorous animal, he also will eat grapes. And he likes to dig and burrow and bury himself or hide himself near his food source. And so what the writer is telling us is there are some little things that come to burrow into our life. And if we're not careful, they will disturb the root system of the vine. Just like that little fox, when it burrows into the ground near the vine's roots, it will disturb the roots of the vine. And it will eventually kill the vine. It will eventually destroy the vine. Solomon is calling our attention to the fact that it is little things that can have a great impact in our relationship with Jesus. But Pastor Gary, we know when the enemy comes in, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. How many of you know the enemy does come in that way sometimes? He comes in like a roaring lion. But let me just tell you this morning, if the roar of the lion doesn't scare you and the roar of the lion hasn't had an impact on your relationship with Christ, then the enemy will change his tactic and he will begin to come in like a little fox. If he can't scare you off and can't hurt your relationship with the Lord by roaring at you, then he will come in a sly, sneaky sort of way, in a subtle way, so that he can disrupt the roots of the vine and bring destruction into your life. But the end result of the roar of the lion and the sly little fox are the same. It's a dead vine. Often we are prepared for the roar of the lion, but we are unprepared and we are caught off guard oftentimes by the subtlety of the fox. The little fox has tremendous advantage. A lion is scary. A little fox is cute and cuddly. Hello? Yeah, they got a lot of spring in their step. My wife and I went ATV riding one time, and we're coming down the hillside, and I looked off to my left, and there was a little fox coming around a hill. And the road went down and around and then up. And so I'd slowed the ATV down, and we were just rolling along real slow, and we're watching the little fox, and he is watching us. He got both little eyes right on us. And so we went down the hill, around the corner, and now we're climbing back up the other side of the hill. And I look back on he's now on our right, because we kind of went through a little switchback, and we're up on a hill, and now he's watching us, and he's still trotting along, coming around the side of the hill. What he don't know is that there is another little fox behind him coming around the hill. So he's coming this way, and there's another one coming this way. And they are about to meet right in the middle of the trail. And my wife and I have a front seat for the whole show. We're just, putting along, heading up the hill. And pretty soon, both of those foxes, they're looking up at us. And they ran smack dab into each other. And when they ran into each other, both of them just went boing. Jumped back about 4.5 feet. Boing. I think they got a lot, they're cute, they got a lot of spring in their step, they're fast, they're slick, they're sneaky, they're clever. Amen. Little foxes aren't expect to have too much consequence. They have a light footprint. Little foxes aren't expected to cause anything to come unglued. I said they have an advantage. Amen. Little foxes are not expected to come around the corner and knock our marriage off of its foundation. Little foxes aren't expected to cause anything to come unglued. Little foxes are not expected to have the ability to spiritually kill the church. Little foxes, amen, we think of them as something cute and cuddly, but I came to tell you this morning, we need to be care of the little foxes, because it is the little things that will often destroy our relationship with God. The writer is telling us, beware of the little foxes. There is an obvious spiritual application with the words of the writer. He's telling us that if we are not careful, the little things that seem insignificant and unimportant can determine our love and our service toward the Lord. If it goes unchecked, it will go all the way to the point where it destroys our relationship. It will destroy the vine. Listen to what he says in that first portion of that verse. He says, take us, the foxes. Take us, the foxes. In the Hebrew, that word take is literally translated to seize, to capture, to forcefully lay a hold of them. Get a hold of them before they have a chance to do their damage. In the land of Palestine, when the time when this was written, they would actually set out in the vineyard and listen for the little foxes as they were digging so that they could destroy the foxes before the foxes had the opportunity to destroy the vineyard. So what the writer is saying, he's saying, don't overlook the little things. Take a hold of them. Do it with a vengeance. Seize them. Lay hold of them with force. Amen. Lay hold of them with a vengeance. Get a hold of the little foxes and seize them and catch them before they have the opportunity to do their damage. Get a hold of them. Some of us here this morning, amen, have got some little foxes in our life. Amen. Yeah, when the enemy came in like a roaring lion, we recognized who it was and we put him in his place. But the enemy came in, slipped in subtly and shyly. Amen. And slipped in sneaky like, unaware. And he put some things in our life and some thoughts in our mind and some things in our heart. And those things have the potential to tear our relationship up. And because they were cute and cuddly and didn't seem like they would do any harm, we let them abide. And we just let them stay there. Scripture's telling us this morning that there is something alive and there is something growing, and that should be our relationship with the Lord. And then the scripture is also saying, but there is some danger to that relationship. There is some danger to that vine. Consider with me this morning a few of the enemy's foxes. The first little fox that come to my mind when the Lord began to put this on my heart is the little fox of a negative attitude. Some of us are so used to the glass being half full that that's just the way we see everything. Let me ask you a question this morning. How is your attitude? Can I tell you that attitude will have an effect on your outcome? It's true. Attitude will have an effect on your outcome. Are we driven by a positive, faith-filled attitude, or are we driven by negativity and thoughts of doubt and fear? The little fox of attitude. Is our attitude one of faith and optimism, or is our thinking and our actions more along the lines of what can go wrong will go wrong? So why try? Hello? Do we have a Murphy's Law mentality? I ask you this morning, what are you looking for in your life? Are you anticipating success, or are you anticipating failure? Are you looking toward the future with a heart filled with faith and an expectation, or are you being driven by an attitude of gloom and failure? And let me just share with you this morning, amen, that the attitude that you have will determine your outcome. And I'll give you a biblical proof of that. How many of you remember when Moses sent in 12 spies into the promised land? And the 12 spies go into the promised land and they spy out the land. Listen, God had already got them out of Egypt, brought them to the, amen, banks of the Jordan River and said, the land is yours. All you got to do is go in and I will help you conquer it. And so Moses sends in the 12 spies. They all come back, 10 of them. said, oh, it is beautiful. Big pomegranates, luscious grapes, gorgeous figs. It is indeed a let, but we can't have it. Why? Because there's some giants over there that are bigger than we are. There's some immovable objects over there. There are giants in the land. And Joshua and Caleb saw the same thing that the other 10 saw. And they said, if God is on our side, then let's go take it at once. Because if God said we can have it and God is on our side, then there ain't no doubt about it. We can have it. Amen. And let me just tell you this morning, one had a negative attitude, one had a positive faith-filled attitude, and they both got what they were expecting. They both got what they were expecting. It took Joshua and Caleb an extra 40 years to get it. God said, all right, here's what, because you had doubts and because you had unbelief and you wouldn't believe me, you're going to wander in this wilderness for 40 years and that unbelieving generation is all going to die. But because Joshua and Caleb had another spirit, because Joshua and Caleb had another, amen, kind of attitude about the whole thing, I'm going to make sure that they go into the promised land. I said, they both got what they were expecting. So let me ask you this morning, are you living with a faith-filled attitude? Are you living with a negative attitude? Because what you allow into your spirit is going to determine your outcome. That little fox of negativity that sneaks in and causes doubts and unbelief. Grab a hold of that thing and get it out of your life. Quit being a negative Nancy. Anybody, nobody Nancy in here, right? It just rhymed, that's all. Don't be a negative Nancy. Somebody said, well, Pastor Gary, I'm just a realist. I'm just a realist. Well, you go ahead and be a realist, and you go ahead and be doubtful and all that kind of stuff. But listen, my help don't come from man. The reason I'm optimistic and the reason that I have faith and the reason that I believe that I can is because the Bible said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be an overcomer. I can be healed. I can be saved. I can be forgiven. I can be set free. And I can be the blessed of the Lord because it is not my fight. It is not my battle, but it is my God who is alongside of me. He will win the victory, and that's why I can have a positive attitude. Amen. Well, Pastor Gary, I'm a realist. Well, so am I. Amen. So am I. I just choose to believe the report of the Lord. The second little fox that I want to talk about is the little fox of preoccupation. Wow. Many of us are so preoccupied with the things of life. We are just too busy to be concerned about our relationship with the Lord. Hello? We are just so preoccupied and always in a hurry, always in a rush. Too busy to pay attention to our family. Too busy to go to church. Too busy to pray. Too busy to take time to raise our children in the way that they should go. Too busy for a friend in need. Too much TV and not enough prayer. Too much social media and not enough of God's word. Too much entertainment and not enough church. Too much pleasure and not enough sacrifice. Too much me, myself, and I is not enough. Not my will, but thy will be done, Lord. You hear what I'm saying? We are just too preoccupied to be concerned about having a relationship with Christ. Let me just tell you, I'm not saying there's anything bad about TV. I'm not saying that there's anything bad about social media. I'm not saying there's anything bad about valuing yourself. But what I am saying this morning is put things in their right perspective. Put things in their right perspective. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you." Quit trying to add everything to your life and find the giver of life and seek after him. And when you find him, you'll find everything else that you need. Amen. A group of people came to Jesus one day, and you'll find it in Matthew 22. Group of people came to Jesus one day, and they said to him, "What think ye? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar?" They were trying to catch him in his words. They were asking, "Is it lawful to pay taxes and give tribute to Caesar?" Jesus said, "Let me see the money." They handed him a penny. He said, "That ain't my picture. Whose inscription is that? Whose image is that?" They said, "It's Caesar." And he said, "Well, then give it to Caesar. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God." Hello? Amen. Some of us are way too preoccupied to give what belongs to God his. My father, when I entered into the ministry, gave me a real good piece of advice. He said, "Son, don't ever get so busy working for God that you forget your relationship with God." He was saying, don't get so busy working for God that you forget, amen, that you need a personal relationship with God. That is true all the way across the board this morning. Let's don't get so busy with life that we forget about the giver of life. Let's don't forget, amen, about the one that has the ability to touch our hearts and give us eternal life. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Beware of the little fox, amen, a preoccupation. Occupation, because some people are so preoccupied in this world that they never give God a thought. Amen. And if we get so preoccupied ourselves, it will affect our relationship. How about the little fox of money? Some folks are distracted with money. Some folks are so distracted with money that they have allowed money to come between them and God. They've allowed money to come in between them and their obedience to God. Nothing wrong with money. Amen. It takes money to make the world go wrong. Nothing wrong with, amen, having money. God wants you to be blessed. But here's what I'm saying this morning. Don't make money your focus. It's okay to have money, but when money has you, you got a problem. Hello? It's okay to have money, but when money has you, that's where you got an issue. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10. And we usually quote the first half of this verse and fail to quote the last half of it. But the first half of the verse says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And normally we stop right there. But listen to the warning. Paul goes on to write to Timothy and he says, "Which while some covet after money, they have erred from the faith." Amen. What he's saying is you make money your focus and you are going to wind up yourself in error in the faith. And he goes on to say, "And they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows." What I'm saying this morning is that little fox of money, when it comes in and we begin to have a stingy heart and a greedy heart, amen, it will separate us from God, because I came to tell you, everything that God created gives. Hello? Somebody goes, "Oh my God, he's going to take another offering." No, I'm not. I'm just telling you, don't be a tightwad. Give to God what belongs to God. Bless the Lord and God will bless you. You hear what I'm saying this morning? You give unto the Lord and you will reap what you sow. And if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, amen, you're going to reap bountifully. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Don't allow that little stingy fox to dig up your vine and sever your relationship with God. How about the fox of slothfulness? Slothfulness, that's an old word. What does that mean? It means sluggard. That's an old word too. Can you land on a modern day translation? Lazy. Proverbs 6:10. This is what the writer says. Yet a little sleep and a little slumber. A little folding of the hands to sleep. And so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The writer is saying that sloth, sluggard, lazy, will spoil the vine of industry and success. Ultimately, the slothful individual will come to poverty. That's the truth. Ultimately, the sluggard, the lazy, the slothful will come to poverty, and the lack, they will become a victim of their own lack of ambition. This will preach good. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, wake up, get up. Don't allow that little fox of slothfulness to enter into your life. He'll destroy your heart. He'll destroy your life. He'll bring you to poverty. We need to chase that little fox out of our vine and get him out of our grapes so that we can have a harvest in the Lord. How about the little fox of procrastination? You know, the little fox that says, you know, someday I'm going to. When I was growing up, we had a little thing in the kitchen called a round to it. It just said around to it. And whenever my daddy would say, I'm going to get around to that, mama would go, it's right there. Around to it. Amen. That little fox of procrastination. Some people, you know, some people have every intention in the world of giving their heart to the Lord, but not yet. I'm going to, but not today. Well, who told you you had tomorrow? Who told you you had tomorrow? The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time, and today is the day of salvation. Joshua 24:15, Joshua said, amen, choose you this day, not tomorrow. Don't put it off. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You remember what Elijah said, amen, up on Mount Carmel to the children of Israel. He said, how long will you halt between two opinions? If God is God, then serve God. And if Baal is God, then serve Baal. But make up your mind and do one or the other. Amen. What the scripture teaches is you need to come to a decision today. That little fox of procrastination, oh, we are all so prone to let him dig. I have tomorrow. I have tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and we're running around like a chicken with our head cut off going, ah! I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, if you'd have used your time wisely the other day, you wouldn't be running around all scatterbrained. That's right where the rubber meets the road. That's good preaching. Hello? Amen. Now listen, I'm going to try and close with this. Paul said about little things. That's what the Holy Spirit put on my heart. He said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Leaven in this scripture is a type of sin. And what he is saying is that a little yeast will affect the whole batch of dough. I've watched my wife make yeast rolls for years. You can tell I love eating them. Yes. Because bread, man cannot live by bread alone. We must have butter. And my wife will make a loaf of homemade bread sometimes, and I'm like, baby, just give me a cube of butter. I will crawl in and eat my way out. Thank you very much. She said, it's not my fault. But, I went to the doctor a couple of years ago, and for my yearly checkup, screaming and kicking. The wife's like, no, you need to go. You pay for the insurance, go do the wellness thing. And I'm like, fine. So I go to the doctor, and she says, well, your blood sugar is starting to get up there just a little bit, and I'm a little concerned. And I said, you are? She said, yeah. She said, do you drink soda pop? I said, nope, never have. Like one a year, She said, well, what about sweets? And I went, nope. I'm not, I don't eat a lot of pie, don't eat a lot of cake, not a lot of cookies. She said, well, let me ask you this. I said, in fact, I just don't eat sweets. She said, do you eat potatoes? I'm like, oh, yeah. What are you talking about, girl? Yeah. She said, you eat bread? And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, put me down. Yeah, she goes, oh, you eat sweets. You just don't know it. But the minute you eat that starch, it turns into sugar in your blood. And I'm like, really? And then I laid off of the bread, and I don't get homemade bread no more. I don't get taters no more neither. But my blood sugar is really good. But I watched my wife make yeast bread, yeast rolls, and she will mix that dough, and she just puts in just a little bit of yeast. I don't even know. It ain't even a full spoon. It's just a little bit. And then she sets it in a warm spot, put a towel over it, and it just goes and just rises right out of the bowl. What happened? That little bit of yeast, that little bit of leaven affected the whole content of the bowl. Paul is saying, don't you understand that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump? A little bit of sin will affect your whole spiritual relationship with God. That's what he's telling us. Amen. How is it that people do not want any part of cancer, and yet people are willing to tolerate sin, which is a spiritual cancer in their life? What is it that about sin that is so appealing that we will just put up with it and allow it to stay in our life? You understand what I'm saying this morning? Pull it out of the ground. Little foxes can spoil the vine. Little foxes can do spiritual harm. Lay a hold of them with a vengeance. Lay a hold of them, amen, with a forcefulness, and remove them from your life. Or those little things that we tolerate will eventually have an effect upon our relationship. Watch out for little things. They can tear you down. Watch out for the little foxes. They can destroy your home. Watch out for the little foxes. They can destroy your marriage. Watch out for the little things that can separate you from your fellowship with God. Watch out for the little foxes that will hinder your prayer life. Watch out for the little foxes that will stunt your spiritual growth. Watch out this morning for the little foxes that will turn you inside out and upside down and fill your life with unnecessary stress. Watch out for the little foxes. They have the ability to destroy your relationship with Christ. I said little things matter. Little things matter. I read a story some months ago, and when I was putting this message together, this little story came back to my mind. As the story goes, a new pastor had moved into the Houston, Texas area. He'd only been there a couple of weeks, and he was driving his car around, trying to find his way around. And one day, he had to go downtown Houston. So rather than take his car, he decided that he would ride the bus. He decided that he would take the bus, and so he went to a bus stop near his home, and he boarded a bus for downtown Houston because he didn't want to drive in the downtown traffic. So he climbs on the bus, pays for the fare. The bus driver hands him a ticket and his change. And the pastor heads to a seat near the back, and he sits down, and the bus takes off. And when he sat down, the pastor discovered that the driver had given him too much change. He looked down and counted it again, and he had 25 cents too much. He thought to himself, well, the right thing to do would be to give it back. The right thing to do would be, it's only a quarter, but the right thing to do would be give it back to the man. Tell him of his mistake. And then as he sat there on the ride, another voice said to him, it's only 25 cents. It's just a little amount. They won't never miss it. Besides that, they charge too much for the fare to go downtown anyway. You might as well just look at it as a gift from God and just enjoy it. Put it in your pocket. The pastor sat there for a little while, wrestled within himself, and finally his bus stopped at his place where he was supposed to unload. He got off of the bus, and as he was heading off of the bus, his conscience got the better of him, and he got there where the driver was, and he says to him, sir, you gave me too much change. The driver smiled at him and said, you're the new preacher in town, aren't you? He said, yes. He said, I've been thinking about going back to church, and someone told me when I picked you up back there that this was where the new pastor lived, right here on the corner. And he said, I just gave you 25 cents extra to see what you would do. And the pastor got off of the bus, grabbed a lamp pole, and said, oh, God, I just almost sold out your son for 25 cents. I just almost sold out my testimony and my witness for 25 cents. I said, little things matter. Don't let the little foxes that seem so cuddly and cute and I can put up with that. No. They will dig at your vine. They will dig at your root system. And they will eventually destroy your relationship with Christ. Bow your heads, please, all over the building, and let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I pray that the words that have gone forth will find a lodging place in the hearts and in the spirits of these that are here in this house. Lord, some of us have allowed little things to burrow into our hearts and into our lives. Some of us have allowed some little foxes in, unaware, It was no roaring lion, so we weren't set back by it at all. Help us to understand that little things matter. Little foxes can spoil our vine. Little foxes can spoil our relationship. And Lord, if there are any individuals here under the sound of my voice or listening by the internet that have allowed little foxes into their life, please allow us to understand that we need to get a hold of them with a vengeance and pull them out and destroy them before they destroy us. Speak to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, are you here this morning and you would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I didn't even realize it, but I got some little foxes digging in my life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All over the building here, yes. All over the building here. I got some little foxes digging in my life and digging in my heart. I've just been willing to put up with them because they ain't no roaring lion. They ain't no big deal. But today I understand the necessity to deal with it. Are there any more hands? You'd slip it up quickly. Stand to your feet all over the building, please, if you would. Let me pray with those that lifted their hands. Jesus. Lord, at one time or another, we all have little foxes digging in our life. At one time or another, we all have experienced that sly, cute, little cuddly, false thing come into our life. That little fox that comes to dig and destroy. Help us this morning, I pray, to be rid of those little foxes. Help us to capture and contain and destroy and take with a vengeance. And move them away from our heart and move them away from our life. And Lord, every time that little fox begins to creep back into the vineyard, let our ears be alerted to that sound. Let our heart be alerted. Let our eyes get a bead on him and chase him from the vineyard so that nothing can come between our relationship between you and our lives. Touch every individual this morning, every individual's heart, every individual that lifted their hand. Deliver them from the foxes. Deliver them from the foxes. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, we will forever give you the praise and forever give you the glory. And we ask it in your mighty name. Amen. Come and sing.